Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Where is the beef?
Hey, how you doing?
Hold on to your butts.
Feels like an Arby's snack.
Son of a... That's gonna leave a mark.
Chili, baby back ribs.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
Whoopsie! This is Tom and Jim's Top 5. Naming their top 5 lists on everything pop culture. Celebrating the 90s. Sports, movies, music, and more. They're not authorities. Just grown children. Here's your hosts, Tom Skull and Jim Doubt.
So, actually, the cause of the accident then was the elastic in my underwear, which is why I don't wear briefs anymore.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. And, you know, no harm done. Everyone's fine.
Okay.
But, you know, boxers is the way to go.
I saw that in the Army once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Jim, I think we're recording.
We're good?
Oh, yeah, we're good.
You got the mic check?
Yeah, we're good. I think it's, hey, blah, 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 we're here. Yeah. Hey, everyone, this is Tom and Jim's Top 5. I am Tom.
I'm Jim.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you doing?
Well, I'm good. Hey, this surprise, we're here 1 week later.
It's 1 week later, 1 week early.
Yeah.
Because it's honestly just because I miss the sound of your voice.
I know. Oh, really? Is that really what you mean? Do you really mean that?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, I'm excited to hear your voice, too. Did that sound truthful?
No, but I don't really believe much of what you say. What are we talking about today, Thomas?
Jim, well, we are very excited, Jim. We are bringing you a new episode 1 week early, and we are going to talk about our favorite top 5 Nickelodeon shows of all time. How exciting is that?
It's so exciting that we are doing this a week early because we couldn't wait to do it.
We couldn't.
Another week.
We basically, after we got off the air at our last show, we basically just figured out our top 5 almost on this and was like, okay, I'm ready to go. Let's do another one.
Yeah. Weren't you done on like Wednesday with this list?
Officially done Thursday, but mostly done Wednesday, yes. And so 4 days ago, yeah. I'm very excited about this, Jim. But hey, let's catch up a little bit. What is new with you, huh?
Nothing. Honestly, nothing is new at all. I'm sorry.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. Nothing is new. Like, we didn't do much over the weekend. Went out to dinner. It was nice. It was lovely.
Do you guys ever cook at home?
Yeah, all the time.
Really?
Yeah, most of the time. Like, we try to go out to dinner once on the weekends because I don't really see my wife during the week. So once on the weekends, we try to go out to dinner. We usually cook at home.
Do you talk when you're at dinner, or do you just stare at each other's phones?
No, I'd read a newspaper.
Nice. So you go to like...
Yeah, if I can't figure out 7 down, I might ask her.
What's an 11-letter word for tiebreaker? For those of you at home playing along, you figure that out, and that's a funny joke, okay? Especially when you're married. Anyway, so hey, Jim, where can people contact us?
On email, on the Gmail, Tom and Jim's Top 5, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Instagram. You haven't, Jim handles most of our Instagram stuff. I haven't seen any new pictures yet, Jim.
Is this your passive aggressive way of telling me to post more things on Instagram?
This is a pretty direct way to tell you, get off the crapper and do something.
That's actually where I do most of my Instagramming. So.
Well, don't all of us do that?
Yes, yeah, actually. Disinfect those phones.
Mm-hmm. No. You know, at this point, I'm immune, you know? Whatever I got. So, well, cool. Yeah, Jim, post some more stuff. Actually, the last thing you posted, people, because I think you posted to our Facebook, too, was a bottle of Crystal Pepsi. Oh, man,
yeah.
People miss that stuff.
Yeah, that was, I bought that at the grocery store that day.
Oh, that was your picture. I thought you just found it on
Google
Images.
Yeah, that was my
Google
picture. It was $3 or something, so I grabbed 3 bottles of Crystal Pepsi. It was awesome.
Nice. And look at that, everyone, a little look into Jim's life. Isn't that exciting? Oh, my God. Well, yeah, I going back, thanks for asking about my week. I didn't do much.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah?
How was your week, buddy?
Oh, thanks for asking, Jim. I didn't do anything. No, I worked. I worked a lot. We did some family stuff. It was very nice here in Duluth. I hear it was nice in Cleveland as well.
It was. Yeah, it was.
It was very unseasonably 68. Warm. Did you say?
Yes.
Did you say 80 degrees?
We'll pay for it. 68.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. So. No, it was 55, I think, here. And for Duluth in February, that is a huge heat wave.
It's because you don't recycle, so thank you for that.
Actually, Minnesota is number one state in recycling. Look it up. Thanks. Did you just drop your mic? Because I should have. And actually,
no,
I don't know if any of those facts are true, but we do a very good job recycling.
I guarantee that it's not true, and I guarantee the 10,000 lakes are half filled with trash, but it's fine.
No.
It's a beautiful state.
All right.
It's gorgeous. All
right. Really? Were we going to go here?
No. I like Minnesota. Go on.
Okay.
I have nothing against Minnesota.
I live on the greatest of Great Lakes, Jim. Which one do you live on?
The one that catches on fire.
Right. Oh, wow. Anyway, this is a horrible open. Let's get into our show. God, this is just mean. This is what's going to happen. See, you people wanted us to be here once a week, and now we are, and we got nothing. We got nothing. I'm sitting here hanging on the air with nothing. In dead air, apparently. Great. Okay, Jim, thanks for the dynamite drop in there, Donnie. All right. Let's get.
I was just letting you go on your ramp.
I know.
I've learned with you.
I just need
when you get on your soapbox and you stand about 5'4", and I just let you go on your ramp.
Wow! Wow! Short jokes. That's where we're going.
I'm just grasping the straws now. Can we get on with this?
Let's get on. Jim, top 5 Nickelodeon shows. No stipulation on this one. We were going back and forth like, should it be top 5 Nickelodeon TV shows or top 5 Nickelodeon game shows? We said, no, we got to make it hard on ourselves. Let's go top 5 Nickelodeon shows of all time.
All time.
Of all time. So let's just get right into it. What's your number 5 Nickelodeon show, Jim?
Well, I'm going to preface my number 5 with a little bit on Nickelodeon in general.
Oh, we got a little history lesson? A little knowledge being dropped?
A little bit. Now, these are all things that were taken from a book called Slimed, An Oral History of Nickelodeon's Golden Age by Matthew Klickstein.
There you go, reading again.
It's available on your Amazon.
Oh, nice.
He wrote this kind of like pseudo tell-all cool little things about Nickelodeon, some of which are my favorite, I'll get to in a second, but things like that the color scheme, the orange and the lime green for Nickelodeon's logo, were chosen because they were international distress colors. That's how they came up with the color scheme for the entire network.
Really?
Yeah.
I just like the color orange.
Actually, orange and green are like my favorite color combination. So there were a lot of different recipes over the years for the green slime, which maybe you'll touch on later on. I don't know what your list is, but it was involved in many different shows. But the slime originated, which almost made my list, on You Can't Do That on Television.
No,
which to me was like,
yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah.
What happened?
Nothing. Water fell on my head.
Did somebody?
For our younger audience, no, I was kidding. Okay, Jim, I wanted to say a little sidebar there. You mentioned the slime, and they had different recipes. Once, little Tommy Skull, when I was 9 years old, I got to go to Nickelodeon Studios in Orlando, Florida.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you get to tour the studios, and then they say, hey, who wants to get volunteered to get slimed? And everyone raises their little hand, and they picked me, Jim. They picked me. And
so you got slimed.
I got to go out there, and it like a makeshift game show they did, and I sat in a little you know, those like little kiddie plastic pools. I sat in there, and I had like the Double Dare looking, like the red suit on, and they came and just dumped a whole thing of slime on me, and it was awesome. It actually tasted like caramel apples, like a, if you make like apple pie or something. That's what it had, that taste to it. It was really weird, but it was all green and yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. So I got slimed. How about you?
I've never been slimed. I'm sorry.
Let's take a quick break.
Nick, 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 Nick.
Nickelodeon.
Nick, 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 Nick.
Nickelodeon.
All right, Jim, we're back. Wasn't that exciting? Okay. All right. Well, hey.
I'm going to go back to what I was saying because I feel like I was interrupted. So I'm going to go back.
Yeah.
To go talk about the green slime, Tom.
Yes.
A lot of the ingredients included cream of wheat, food coloring, Johnson's baby shampoo, so maybe you shouldn't have eaten it, mm-hmm. vegetable oil, and occasionally cottage cheese. Now, what I thought was interesting, a couple things. The creators of Ghostbusters tried to sue the creator of You Can't Do That on Television because of the slime until they countered and said that they've been sliming kids since 1979, and then Ghostbusters slowly backed out of the room because they knew that they were potentially in a lawsuit situation. But what I thought was great was that when slime was used on Double Dare, the hot lights would actually bake the cream of wheat in the slime. So they used applesauce instead, and the crew on Double Dare was known for their recreational drug use. So they renamed the slime Gak after a street slang for heroin. So that's where Nickelodeon Gak came from, heroin.
Did you have Gak?
I did have Gak, yeah.
Nice. So we all were walking around with heroin.
With heroin, yeah.
Nice. Good. Classy.
Let's see. Double Dare was designed to look like a bathroom, which I thought was kind of cool. Nickelodeon Studios originally printed the Blimp logo on its toilet paper, but people kept stealing it, so they switched it out. Little things like that, Tom. Little knowledge bombs that I'm dropping on here.
Little nuggets. I like it.
Little nuggets. The kids on You Can't Do That on Television would get paid $50 extra for getting slimed or soaked.
No, I got slimed, I didn't get anything.
Well, it was all part of your experience. You could tell that story how many years later, and that's worth more than anything, Tom.
I felt like my story fell flat. I don't even think you cared that I got slimed.
I care.
That was my only note. I'm sitting here, my iPad's open with all my notes, and it just says, tell him you got slimed at Nickelodeon Studios, and then that's it. I got nothing else.
Do you want to go on with your number five so you don't feel left out?
All right. Well, yeah, I'm going to start this time. My number five, Jim, is a great Nickelodeon show. I hope it's one of your favorites. This premiered in 1991. It is not one of the game shows. It's an actual comedy show. And it is Salute Your Shorts.
Yeah.
Yes, I love Salute Your Shorts. I found a bunch on YouTube. I've been watching them all over again the last couple of days. My wife and child and I, and it's been great. Salute Your Shorts was actually only on... How many years do you think Salute Your Shorts was on, Jim? Or how many episodes do you think they did?
I think Salute Your Shorts was on for 3 years.
They were only on for two seasons, a total of 26 episodes. 13 episode seasons. Don't you think that's weird? I feel like they were on longer.
Seems like it was so much longer. Maybe we just kept watching reruns over and over.
Now, here's the thing. Okay, so a little more thing on Salute Your Shorts. Okay, I'll go back to those rerun things. But it was aired from 91 to 92. Steve Slavkin was the creator, and the reason I mentioned his name, because no one really knows his name, he played the voice of Dr. Kong, the guy on the loudspeaker that runs the camp they always hear. That was actually the creator of the show. The camp was Camp Anawana, which I own a T-shirt that says Camp Anawana on it, and I
have that same shirt.
Of course you do. Of course, is it my shirt? It's not mine, is it? You steal it?
It could be your shirt.
Nice. And so, of course, the title comes from a common prank that the campers play is putting someone's boxer shorts up on the flagpole, and they salute them. So there's your Salute Your Shorts. But going back to, you said, okay, only had 26 episodes, and you're like, we must have watched a lot of reruns. The show, even despite not even being airing anymore, new episodes airing, it was still the 15th highest rated show on basic cable in 1996, 4 years after it wasn't even producing new episodes. Yeah.
They really dropped the ball on that one.
I know. Little fun fact, it was all filmed, one of the first Nickelodeon shows to ever be filmed on location. It was filmed at Griffith Park outside of Los Angeles, and then Franklin Canyon Park they used for a lot of the stuff. When they're inside, that was all sets, on a lot, like when they're in a cabin and stuff. But it was mostly filmed at those parks outside of Los Angeles. And another thing, after the first episode, the pilot episode, and then it got picked up, Nickelodeon says, yeah, we'll do it. All the actors who were in the pilot had to re-audition for their roles, which is kind of weird. I don't understand why they have to re-audition for their roles, but they did. It's kind of weird.
Well, can I interject?
Please.
Salute Your Shorts is also on my list.
Okay.
It's much higher, though. It is my number two.
Oh, wow. We're jumping ahead.
So when we get that far, I'll just remind you that that was my number two.
Okay.
But I also have a little bit of knowledge on this one. And from what I found, they re-auditioned the kids because there was a year in between the pilot and it actually being picked up.
Sure.
So they wanted to make sure the kids actually still fit the roles, and a lot of them had grown up too much to fit the role. So the only person from the pilot to the series that stayed was Donkey Lips.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, good, good. Well, I'm excited to hear more about that when we get to your number two.
Okay.
I'll just say a couple more things.
In other words, shut up, Jim.
No.
I'm talking.
No. One thing I want to say, and we'll talk more later about, but the company Reebok was a huge sponsor, and so all their clothing was Reebok and their shoes. And I say that now because I think Reebok's going to come up a lot more in our list.
You know what other shoe was always on Nickelodeon?
BK Knights.
You want a new pair of BK
Knights?
Yes.
Hey, I had BK Knights, all right?
I never had BK Knights.
Well, your mom didn't love you. Okay. Well, that's my number five. I love this show. And yeah, for those of you, you can get the episodes, I believe, on Amazon Prime. You have to buy them. But you can go to YouTube, and it's all on there. And it's been a lot of fun to watch those. We're going back and watching those. Trying to get my son to watch it. He doesn't really seem to care, but my wife and I love it, so. Yeah.
That's a great show. It's one of my favorite ones.
That was a great show.
We run, we jump, we swim and play. We row and go on trips. But the things that last forever are our dear friendships.
Camp Bonawana.
We hold you in our hearts.
And when we think about you,
I hope we wanna fart.
It's I hope we never part. Now get it right or pay the price.
Now we will share a lifetime of the fondest memories.
By the lake of Bonawana, set in the old pine trees.
Camp Bonawana.
We hold you in our hearts.
And when we think about you,
this thing came apart.
Think, I don't want to speak, I don't want to live, I don't want to die!
All right, Jim, well, what's your number five?
My number five, it was Hey Dude.
Oh, Hey Dude.
Hey Dude.
That's a great...
Hey Dude was on from 89 to 91.
Yes? Oh.
65 episodes over 5 seasons. It was Nickelodeon's second original live-action show after 1984's Out of Control, which I don't remember.
No, I was
two. You remember that show?
I was two. Yeah. No, I don't. We didn't have cable back then either, but I don't remember a lot of things when I was two. Do you?
Everything, yeah.
Great. I don't remember that show. Sorry.
I don't even remember actually hearing of that show.
Okay.
The series was set on the Barton Dude Ranch outside of Tucson, Arizona. The guy who owned the place, Ben Ernst, was a divorced father. Son was Buddy. They moved from New York. It also featured Ted, who was the troublemaker. Danny was the Hopi Native American, who the Hopi tribe is a real tribe in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And they're known for being, like, very, very happy people, just a very happy Indian tribe. You can see bumper stickers when you're driving around that say, "Don't worry, be Hopi."
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're a really nice Indian tribe. I think they're a division of, I can't remember what. They're a division of another major tribe, and I can't remember who it is off the top of my head. Then Christine Taylor played Melody, who is the wife of Ben Stiller.
Yes.
And Brad was the rich town girl who also knew how to ride a horse.
Right, and her name was Brad.
Brad. Her name was Brad.
Right. Who was the my wife loves the, there was one kid on there she was in, like, love with. The blonde-haired kid, I think.
The blonde girl?
The blonde-haired boy. There was two boys. There was a brown-haired and a blonde-haired kid.
I thought there was just one kid.
I don't remember. Anyway, she said she was. We were going over these shows, and this one fell off my list. And she was very upset with me that it wasn't in my top five. But she was saying she watched the open, and she's like, "Oh yeah, that's the guy." She, like, she remembers she, like, was in love with this kid when she was younger. So,
yeah. Let's see what else I got for you. Christine Taylor originally auditioned for the part of Brad.
Mm-hmm.
But she was actually a lifeguard in Pennsylvania at the time, so they just wrote her in as a lifeguard from Pennsylvania.
Oh, nice.
Kind of typecasted, I guess.
Yeah.
Buddy and Danny were the two that were casted from a local Tucson talent search.
Okay.
The kid who played Buddy went to Tucson High School, and Joe Torres, who played Danny, he got the part of the Hopi Indian, even though he's actually Mexican-American.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Yeah. Not in front of the cameras. There was no profanity on the set. There was a swear jar, and the kids couldn't cuss.
Nice.
Only two of them knew how to ride a horse. It was Brad and Lucy, who played the farmhand.
Oh.
One of the writers for the show ended up writing a screenplay for Speed and Justified on FX.
You're kidding.
No.
Started on Hey Dude, wrote Speed. Love that.
Speed, yeah, yeah. And nobody knows where Joe Torres, the guy who played Danny, nobody knows where he is now. The cast and crew have tried to contact him, and nobody can find him.
Are we breaking into, like, an Unsolved Mystery episode? Where's Robert Stack?
I think we are.
This is creepy. Really? They don't know where he is. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, nobody can find him.
Wow.
And my favorite episode, I love Halloween. I love Halloween everything, right. Every Halloween episode of a show. Mine was, there was a ghost story episode where Ted tells the story about his grandfather worked at a sawmill, and one day everybody had been killed inside their bunks, but the doors were all locked from the inside, and nobody knew how they got killed. So everybody's trying to play pranks on each other, and then at the end, they lock Ted inside of his bunk, and they're scraping from the floorboards underneath, and that's how he figures out that somebody burrowed in or came in through the floorboard and murdered everyone. And that's the only thing that actually scared him. That was my favorite episode.
That sounds very disturbing, Jim.
I like Halloween.
Well, apparently. Okay. Oh, shoot, I just hit the mic. See, now you mentioned Halloween and ghosts and stuff, and now things are happening. Well, good. I liked Hey Dude. Yeah, didn't make my list. Wife was a little upset with me that it didn't. She's like, really?
That's why your wife likes me more than she likes
She
you.
Does. It's so weird. It's so weird.
Hey, dude.
It's a little wild and a little strange when you make your home out on the range. Start your horse and come along. Like the cowboys say,
sing it again now.
Yippee-tie-yi-yay.
Get along, little dogs.
Till the break of day.
Hey.
better watch out for those man-eating jackrabbits and that killer cacti. Hey, dude.
Well, Jim, all right. Well, what's your number four, then?
There is so much copyright infringement in the show.
Tons. You know, Jim, when we get more than four listeners a week, then they can come after me, all right?
Sure. My number four is Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, way ahead of its time.
Way ahead of its time. Should have been on a totally different network. Should have been on MTV, or should have been years later on Adult Swim, and it would have done amazingly. But it was, in 1991, it was debuted as one of three of the Nicktoons lineup, including Rugrats and Doug. Those were the three original Nicktoons. It kind of preceded Rocko's Modern Life, Angry Beavers, SpongeBob, all those great shows after it. Stimpy was inspired by a Tweety Bird cartoon, and Ren was inspired after the creator saw a photograph of a chihuahua in a sweater.
Oh.
I guess inspiration strikes everywhere.
When you have a chihuahua, you must put it in a sweater.
Right.
I think there's a rule.
There was one episode was banned from Nickelodeon called Man's Best Friend, at a scene where Ren beat a character half to death with a canoe oar. The network refused to air the show.
Why?
The creator got into an argument. He got fired. They brought in another creator to finish out a couple other seasons. Mike Judge credits Ren and Stimpy for his creation of Beavis and Butthead, and kind of paving the way for shows like that. Ren and Stimpy was crude. Some of the drawings were really detailed and crude, and it was a lot of farts and a lot of poop, and when you're a young teenage kid, it's hysterical. My sister and I loved it. I had comic books, Ren and Stimpy comic books. It was my favorite show, especially on the SNICK lineup, because it was the third show out of the four on the original SNICK lineup, being Secret World of Alex Mack, Roundhouse, Ren and Stimpy, and Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Nice. Stimpy, you idiot. I love Ren and Stimpy. Another one that I had to... I had to leave off my list. I know, like, this was so hard. We were talking all week. And I'm like, it's like trying to pick which kid you like the best. It's not... Mm-hmm. This is not easy. Like, I left a lot off my list that could easily be on there. So...
Oh, yeah. We'll do a little roll call here.
Yeah.
Right before number one of all the shows that we had that we didn't put on, and I'm sure it's about 20 long.
Yeah. Definitely. A little quick thing on yours. When the original creator got fired, left the show, it wasn't the same.
No, it was not the
same. Was not as good. But those first, two, three seasons it was on? Oh, man,
yeah.
That show was so funny.
Yeah, when Bob Camp came in to take over the show, he kind of had to play the role between the network and the advertisers, and the committees that oversee shows and crudeness and whatever
standards and practices.
We'll call it that.
Yeah,
sure.
Let's just call it that.
Sure.
Yeah, they came in, ruined everything like usual. Yeah.
You remember like Powdered Toast Man?
Yeah,
and log. Remember the log commercials?
The log commercials are the best.
That show was so good.
That was good.
I had a tape. Now that I think about it, it was a Ren and Stimpy tape.
Really?
An audio tape. And it had like the log commercial on it and different skits. So good. Such a great show.
My number four is a game show, and you know I love the Nickelodeon game shows.
Yes.
And so my number four, this was tough because I had to leave maybe a couple other game shows off that people might want us to put on.
Yeah,
and they might be on. We still got some more to go here, but my number four was it started in 1990 and ran for three seasons, total of 65 episodes in its original run, Wild and Crazy Kids.
Nice.
Oh my gosh, I wanted to be on this show so bad. Oh, I love this show, Jim. And Jim, for those of you out there, when Jim and I lived in the same town, I used to have a Halloween party every year. And Jim came to my Halloween party one year dressed as a contestant of Wild and Crazy Kids.
I did.
We became best friends on that day.
We barely knew each other. I'd only lived in town a couple months.
Yeah, but I knew you.
I was just happy that somebody invited me to a party.
Right, right. Well, I mean, we invited the person you're with, but whatever. You came. We had fun. It was great. So,
I bought a gray Wild and Crazy Kids T-shirt, and I had knee pads and elbow pads, and then I took like a bike helmet and I duct taped a blender to the top of it, and then I made lime green Jello in the blender.
Oh. That was definitely, good. And if there wasn't that one guy dressed as Robert Goulet that year, you would have won. So, anyway, so, yes, so this
was
on.
I just remember who that was.
Whatever. On for three seasons, had three hosts, Omar Gooding, Donnie Jeffcoat, and Annette Chavez was in the first season, and then the second, third season had Jessica Gaines. Not to confused with the lady on that HGTV show, Chip and Joanna Gaines. Very different person.
Oh, I love that show.
I know. There was a revival of the show in 2002. Only lasted 10 episodes. It was hosted by not those three. I don't have it down who it was hosted by. But wasn't hosted
Cuba
by those
Gooding Jr.?
No. Little sidebar on Omar Gooding.
Nothing going on.
Little sidebar of Omar Gooding. Younger brother of Cuba Gooding Jr., and was arrested for gun possession in 1995 and served 18 months in prison.
Oh.
I know, isn't that sad? What's going on?
Drugs just ran rampant on the Nickelodeon set.
I know. This is gun possession, not drugs, but I'm sure drugs were involved.
Oh, I think it's a drug possession.
No, gun. But, I mean, again, you know drugs were involved. Anyway, for those of you who don't know the show, each episode consisted of three games, with one of the hosts emceeing each game. The teams were identified by color of the shirts they wore, hence the one Jim found online. They're always different colors. They weren't like your standard red and blue. They had like lime green, they had yellow, they had orange, they had, you know, you've seen the rainbow, those colors. And they would play three different games. Some kind of a playground game, a sports related game with like weird rules, and then they'd have like some kind of a messy game, which would include slime or pies. And then like the sports games, like the one they would play the most, that was on the most, I think, was Dizzy Bat Home Run Derby. And basically it was kids against adults, and the kids had to hit the, you know, hit a ball off a tee and to get a home run. But when the adults got up there, they had to do the dizzy bat thing and then try to hit and run and stuff. And, it, of course, hilarity ensued after that. Then they had, like, three-legged soccer, splash football, which had then Detroit Lions quarterback Rodney Peete guest starred on the show to throw passes to the kids jumping into the pool. Bumper boat lacrosse and donkey basketball. Which I don't remember that, but apparently.
Can I say that I watched an episode the other day, and I watched the Jonathan Taylor Thomas episode?
Oh, me too. We watched that the other day too. JTT.
So weird.
I love JTT. Oh my gosh. We'll get back to Jonathan Taylor Thomas in a second. But the playground games were like they would have a huge game of like Simon Says or Red Light Green Light. Did you ever play Red Light Green Light when you were a kid?
Oh yeah, of course.
Love that game. They re-entitled it Red Pie, Green Pie. And so if you're caught trying to advance on the red light, you get hit in the face of the pie.
Nice.
And if you reach the end without getting caught, then you get to hit the other team in the face of the pie. They had Tug of War, and they had some guest stars of three different professional wrestlers, and then the kids on the whole other team would try to pull that one, and that was pretty cool. They had a massive game of Twister, Human Space Invaders, Human Battleship. I mean, it's just crazy. A lot of it took place like on a beach or like in a big park or something. And Jim, you mentioned guest stars. There was Jonathan Taylor Thomas of Home Improvement, Lark Voorhees, who played Lisa on Saved by the Bell. Arnold Schwarzenegger was a guest star on this. Michael Fishman, who was from Roseanne. And a very young Tobey Maguire promoting his short-lived Fox sitcom called Great Scott. Don't remember this at all. I don't either. Okay. Mark Summers of Double Dare sometimes appeared on the show, and they would do like a Double Dare versus Wild and Crazy Kids episode, which is pretty cool. They had some baseball players would pitch at the Dizzy Bat race, Dizzy Bat Home Run Derby. What are you doing over there?
I'm having a drink.
Okay. So Mark Summers used to be on the show, or was on the show. The cast of Salute Your Shorts, which we already talked about, was on the show. They would have their crew versus the Wild and Crazy Kids crew. Olympic skier Bodie Miller appeared on the show in 2002, so the revival of the show, which I never watched the revival. This was on all the time, and like I said, it was only on three seasons, but the reruns aired pretty much the day they went off the air in 92 all the way through 99, and then they went to the new show, new channel called Nick Gas, Nick Games and Sports. That went on from, they were on there from 99 to 2007, and then now they occasionally are on Teen Snick, which is the Splat channel, or a Splat segment on Teen Nick. So I loved Wild and Crazy Kids. I can tell by your enthusiasm, whatever you're eating over there, you loved it too.
I loved Wild and Crazy Kids when it was on.
Yeah.
And then I went back for the purpose of this segment and rewatched episodes, and I was like, maybe not as good as I thought it was.
You know, I did that for some other shows as well, and I think it's the nostalgia, like, I always wanted to be on this show, and I think the fact that I had such that feeling when I was a kid that I can't say it sucks now, you know. But yeah, it's different watching it now. But I don't know. This one made my list. I'm sorry.
You what?
I said I'm. Never mind. Jesus, can you hear me at all over there?
Yeah, sorry. I just wasn't listening. I'm sorry.
Let's move on. This show is just, here it comes, a shit sandwich. All right.
If you're using the shit sandwich analogy here, then I'm really looking forward to the sandwich part of this, which should be coming up.
Which hopefully.
Because where are we on, number two?
No, we're on three. We haven't
three.
Even got to.
We're on three. God, we're still in the shit. All right, let's do this. All right, is it mine or yours?
I don't care. You've done... Okay, let's just go. Let's go. It's just you. You go. You're number three.
All right, I'm going to go. I don't have a whole lot on my number three. It is The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Oh, Pete and Pete. I love Pete and Pete.
I loved Pete and Pete. It was on... It started out in 1989 as a minute-long short, and then it got their own five half-hour specials, and then became a regular half-hour series that ran for 3 years, from 93 to 96, 34 episodes total. It featured Pete and Pete Wrigley, Big Pete and Little Pete.
Right.
Mom and Dad, Petunia, Little Pete's tattoo, and Mom's plate.
Yeah.
Mom had a plate in her head.
Right.
Hence, and it got its own
Pete.
introduction in the show's open.
Right.
Which was sung by a band called Polaris. The song is called Hey Sandy, and you can buy it on Google Play.
Wow.
I bought it last night for 99 cents.
Nice.
Also featured Artie, the strongest man in the world.
He was weird.
He was weird.
Artie was so weird.
The whole show was very bizarre.
Right.
But very funny.
Yeah. The theme song was awesome. I love that theme song. I was singing it today as I was working, just because I've been listening to all these shows. So I'm just singing it to myself. But, yeah, very weird show, but really good. Now, one thing I do always remember is that one of the Petes, the tall Pete, Big Pete, was also in was one of Kevin McAllister's brothers in Home Alone.
Yes, he was.
And I think that's the only other thing he did. I'm sure he did more, but...
Yeah, I can't remember. I think the little one did a couple other things, but nothing, like, really important.
Well, Jim, I'm surprised. This is another one I left off my list. So
you left off Pete?
I did. It's, I told you,
I'm
this is
shocked.
Tough. I know, this is tough. This is tough.
I remember this episode of the show. I think it was an early episode where they're taking a road trip to, like, the Hoover Dam, I think. And the family had a contest with another family on a road trip as to who could have the tallest luggage stack on the top of their car.
Nice.
You remember that episode?
Not really, no.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. It was just weird episodes like that. That was the show. It was just really quirky and strange, and the plot lines were always really weird, and you had this weird man superhero running around. It was a weird show, but I loved it. It was very, very funny.
Yeah, it's good. I suggest people go back and watch it just for the, I mean, just the open of the show is worth it.
Yeah,
the fact
you can pretty
that,
much stop at
yeah, right. I mean, the fact that his mother's plate in her head gets her own credit in that episode. You just know you're in for something good.
I'm really surprised that so far, Sawyer Shorts is the only thing that we've doubled up on.
Right. Well, I told you, I was more of a game show guy. I mean, to give you a little heads up of what's coming up here. I mean, I like the game shows, but I don't know.
Or have you picked your target yet? Listen to me.
All right, well, let's move on to my number three.
Okay.
And I have a feeling...
I'm gonna step in real quick and say that if anything that happened in the last 5 minutes sounds extremely weird or disjointed, it's because someone's computer crashed. And there was about a 15-minute lag in the show.
Yeah. And I think Jim ate, like, some pot brownies or something in that time because he's really weird.
Tom called me back. I was in the middle of a giant mouthful.
Well, I'll leave it at that.
Escalated.
Leave it at that.
Let's just go on.
All right. We'll move it on to my number three. And so I have a feeling this one's on your list. I could be wrong. I'm positive I'm not wrong. And I'm sorry that it might be higher on your list, but we're going to talk about it right now. My number three ran for 7 seasons, started in 1991, and it's Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I can't believe you put that show as your number three. I'm not mad.
Yeah, you are.
I'm just disappointed.
I understand. I know I wanted to put this at number one. I really did. But I had to pick the other...
There's a whole number in between there, too.
I know. So, Are You Afraid of the Dark, Jim? I love the show. You want to talk about it together? I assume it's on your list?
Let's talk about Are You Afraid of the Dark together.
All right. Well, for those of you who don't know, for those of you who stink, Are You Afraid of the Dark was revolved around a group of teenagers called the... Jim?
The Midnight Society.
Thank you. Every week, they would come to a secret location in the woods, and one of these... kids would tell a spooky, scary story. It was kind of like Nickelodeon's version of Tales from the Crypt. Would you say?
Yeah, totally.
So a little more tamer than that, you know. It wasn't as crazy, but
kind of like if Goosebumps had a 30-minute show before Goosebumps actually had a 30-minute show.
Yeah, screw Goosebumps, man. This is where it's at. So of course, every storyteller to start the story. They would say, submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society, I submit this story, and then they'd say the title of the story, and then they go on, and then they'd see the actors act it out. It was absolutely awesome. They'd throw all this stuff on the fire to make the smoke come up from the fire, and then they go into the story. But that line, submitted for the approval of, was the creator, who is DJ McHale, he... came up with that line because in the original Twilight Zone show, Rod Serling would say, submitted for your approval, and then he'd go into the story. So he kind of like stole that line to put into the show, which I thought was pretty cool.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it was always the tale of, and then so-and-so, like tale of the Pinball Wizard, The Tale of the, you know, whatever. Laughing in the Dark, you know, it's funny.
That's my favorite scary story by The Who.
Pinball Wizard Tale.
Yeah.
It's a great story. Speaking of that, though, because many of the stories always had, like, a happy ending, unlike Twilight Zone or Tales from the Crypt. But the Tale of the Pinball Wizard actually deviated from that concept and actually had a kind of a ending where it was like, oh, that sucks, because it'd always be like, there'd be a happy ending at the end, you know, the person would get out of their demise or whatever, but in this one, the guy was trapped in a giant pinball machine, and he had to run and hide, or he was going to get squashed by the ball, and at the end, he finally gets through, and he wins, and then the game restarts, and he realized he is stuck in the story eventually until he dies. And so that was one that was like, whoa, that's not happy, you know, this ain't good. Great guest appearances on this show. Bobcat Goldthwait, Ryan Gosling, Nev Campbell, Melissa Joan Hart, which I love her. Hayden Christensen, pre Star Wars. Tia and Tamara Maui. What's that?
Yeah.
Figure skater Tara Lipinski. Gilbert Godfrey, Eddie K. Thomas from American Pie. So there's a lot of people who were on this show that were pretty much young actors at the time before they were famous, kind of thing. Did you know there was a board game based on this show?
I did not.
I never played it, and obviously you didn't either because you didn't know it existed. But it is available on Amazon for
$12.99. And I am purchasing.
Yeah. Okay, good. Click good, add go to cart. Got it. So yeah, no, it was, I loved it. Their creator, DJ McHale, actually wanted to make a feature film back in 1998, but it was, Nickelodeon canceled it. I think there were some discrepancies on what they wanted to do with the script, and it just never came to fruition, which is too bad, because I really thought that'd be an awesome, because Goosebumps later on came out with a movie with Jack Black and stuff, which it would be cool if I even for the Dark had one. But yeah, I love this show, and I feel bad, Jim. I know you probably have it higher on your list, but I couldn't break away from my other two. But this show scared me a little bit when I was a kid. Like, some of the stories were really free. I'm not a big fan of clowns. I don't know if people know that or not.
Oh yeah, so there's Zeebo the Clown.
Yeah, that one freaked me out. There's a lot that freaked me out. Do you want to wait to talk about it when we get to yours, or do you have any more on this one you want to talk about?
Oh, I have a lot on this one. Okay. I'll just wait until we do number one.
Let's just jump in.
Two, I'm also rehashing what you've already done.
Right. What a great episode. People are going to just hate this one. Jim, well, what is your number two? We already talked about your number two.
Yeah, you already did mine. Mine is Salute Your Shorts is my number two.
What else you got on Salute Your Shorts that we didn't
I've got so much on. Did you mention the writer of the show, the creator of the show?
Yeah.
Did you mention, it's been so long, he wrote a book on this. Did you mention that?
I didn't mention, I have it down here that he wrote a book entitled the same thing.
Salute Your Shorts, Life at Summer Camp, and then he pitched to Nickelodeon, and they bought on it. We talked about the pilot and the year in between, so they recast it. You talked about him being the voice of Dr. Khan. What I also read is that he created Dr. Khan strictly to fill time in the show. It was the only reason it existed. And if his show was a minute light, he would sit in the booth and just record himself talking, totally ad-lib, just to fill time, and then he would put, like, scenic shots over it. It was the only reason that character existed.
That's awesome. And, you know, that character actually reminded me a lot of Bill Murray's character in Meatballs, because he would go on the loudspeaker and just say weird, random things. And I wonder if he got that from that, because that movie was, like, 1980, I think, or whatever, but...
That would make a lot of sense. I didn't read that he did, but that would make a lot of sense if he did.
Yeah, and he would say the funniest things, but yeah, go ahead.
I read that he wanted the cast of kids to be as normal as possible. He wanted kids with no acting experience, no makeup, crazy hair. He wanted buck teeth. Like when the girl who played ZZ Ziff got braces, he wrote it in the script because he wanted everybody just to be as normal as you could possibly be.
Well, I think he got it. Yeah, he nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they were just normal kids.
Yeah.
You mentioned where it was shot at the park in L.A., but it was also Opie's fishing hole in the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was. I guess it was a set of a lot of different shows. It was the Lagoon and Creature from the Black Lagoon and a couple other things, too.
Nice.
And it's actually where the girl who played Telly, Venus de Milo, she attended girls' camp there at that location. She was from L.A.
Oh, no.
All the kids were from the West Coast.
Nice.
And that's the reason they didn't do a third season is because they were transferring everyone to Orlando and nobody wanted to move, so they canceled it.
Yeah, I read that, and that stinks. But one they didn't want to move because a lot of them were graduating high school at the time and kind of moving on with their careers. And so it was hard. I think it was they're just hard to get everyone involved to relocate. And yeah, but that was too bad because that show, like I said, I mean, we thought that show went on forever and it was only two seasons, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy to me. This is what I thought was really funny because I remember this episode specifically when the kids snuck out of their cabins to go to the mess hall and steal fruit. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
They went to steal fruit.
Yeah.
And it's because the standards and practices department wrote them a note that said that the kids couldn't have candy because of childhood obesity, so they had to rewrite the script of them breaking out to steal candy to breaking out to steal fruit, which doesn't make any sense because nobody wants a tangerine that bad.
No. I mean, have you tried those little Halos you get at the grocery store? They're amazing, but I'm not going to go and steal
delicious.
One. Yeah, they're delicious.
No.
I mean, if we're talking exotic fruit, I mean, was there pineapple or kiwi in there or something?
I mean, these are all questions I can't answer.
Well, this is why you're not prepared for the show.
It is the only TV theme song in history to contain the word fart. True story. Donkey Lips and Sponge did not like each other.
Oh, really?
And they had to share a dressing room. Yeah, apparently the guy who played Donkey Lips said their egos did not get along, and they had to share a dressing room together.
Huh.
What I also thought was funny, and I went back and checked the video on this, the guy who plays Donkey Lips says that he and the girl who played Telly got into an argument the day that they were shooting the open for the show, and when they told all the kids to raise their hands in the air, he actually hits her in the head. And it's hard to see, but he says he did it to get back at her. But when he raises his hand, she gives him a really dirty look.
Oops.
In the show's open, and he said that's because he had reached up and hit her in the back of the head.
Uh-oh. All right, go back and check it, everybody.
And in the open of the show where Sponge puts his arm on Budnick's shoulder and Budnick shoves it off,
mm-hmm.
That was improv. It wasn't written in. And the kid who played Sponge says he would have done that in real life, too. They didn't get along either.
They didn't? Well, these kids just a lot of attitude problems on the set of Salute Your Shorts, apparently.
Apparently, for kids who weren't even actors.
Oh, well.
And again, my favorite episode of this show, because I love Halloween, was the Halloween episode with Zeke the Plumber. You remember that?
Yes, I do remember the Halloween.
But Nick was telling the scary story. Zeke the Plumber got his nose bit off by a parrot.
Yeah.
And became the Camp Onawana janitor because he couldn't smell. He had a gas pipe and couldn't smell it and lit a match and blew himself up. And then he came back to haunt all the campers. Yes. And then I think Ugg Lee dressed up as Zeke and scared all the kids later on.
Ugg. What, didn't you, how much did you hate Ugg?
Oh, everybody hated Ugg.
Everyone.
But what a great name, right?
Yeah.
His name was it Kevin Lee and they called him Ugg?
Yeah, Ugg. Ugh.
It's a great name.
Great name. Did you know in every episode there is a hidden rubber chicken with a cigarette in its mouth?
I did know that.
Isn't that
actually?
I don't ever remember. I know it now because we went back and researched the show, but I never. I didn't catch on to that watching all those episodes.
Did you know why?
No, I did not know why.
The kid who played Budnick was a huge Frank Zappa fan. Oh, and apparently that's a Frank Zappa thing, so he did that himself.
Well, he went on to form a band.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right, he did.
And then, and I think, I'm not sure if Frank Zappa or something had something to do with producing his band.
Interesting.
Yeah. How many food fights do you think were in, unless you know us already, were in the show? You think of summer camp, you think of food fights.
I mean, I can think of one major one. One episode comes to mind for sure.
Okay, there was four total out of the 26 episodes. You'd think there'd be one in every show, but there wasn't.
You would think.
Yeah. And then when, how about the actual word Camp Anawana? It's kind of a play on words. Because if you slur it together, it sounds like I don't want to. It's like,
hey,
how do you want to go to summer camp this year? I don't wanna. Yeah. So, you know, I never picked up on that until doing this research on this stuff.
Oh no.
No, because I'm not smart. A lot of people thought, going back to the creator who does Dr. Khan, a lot of people thought that was Ben Stein doing the voiceover. Because they sounded similar. Yeah, it was not, though. It was not Ben Stein. But they all thought it was him, just because of the way he talked. And I think he was doing those Clear Eyes commercials. Remember those? So.
And Micro Machines. I used to love Ben Stein until I watched CBS Sunday Morning every week, which is like the only news that is worth watching because it's like fluff and happy things.
Right.
But he'll do an editorial every once in a while, and I can't stand listening to him talk.
Oh,
I've written Ben Stein off.
Well, I think the world has. So, sorry, Ben.
It's not even how he talks. It's what he says. I just can't stand it anymore.
He's done. Oh, well, good. But, well, I'm glad we got back to Salute Your Shorts. And I'm sorry mine was not as high on the list as yours.
Don't apologize to me.
All right, Jim. Well, we now know you're number two, and we've alluded to your number one. So that means my number two and my number one, you don't have them on your list.
Nope.
A little disappointed. I think we're drifting apart, Jim.
I'm excited to hear what you've got. I think I have one that I can guess.
Okay.
And one that I have absolutely no idea what it would be.
Okay. Well, this was tough for me, and I think I told you earlier this week, I'm like, I kept just flip-flopping. I'm like, no, this is my number one, this is my number two. No, this is, you know, so I kept going back and forth on these two. So really, they're interchangeable, but I'm just going to stick with what's on my list in front of me.
Okay.
It was my last gut feeling, okay? So my number two is a game show. You know, I love the game shows. It was on from 1993 to 1995, and it is Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah, that's the one I could guess, and that is a great show.
Oh, I love this show, Jim. It was like playing on the set of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
In which I love those movies. If we ever did a top five adventure movie, well, there's one, two, and three right there. But I love this show. It was so cool. It had.
I went back and watched an episode of it.
Yeah.
And I have to say that of any of the game shows on Nickelodeon, that is by far the best. It is by far the only one that has actually stood the test of time that is still really good right now.
It is.
And if I were to put a game show on my list, that is the only one that I would have put on.
Wow. Okay. Well, I agree. It has stood the test of time because I watched a couple the other day, and it's awesome. Well, for those – okay, going back. So for those of you who don't know, the show is – okay, how many teams is it? It starts with eight teams, right? No, how many teams? Oh, anyway. But the teams are – Jim, do you want to read the names of the teams?
Oh, what were they? The Purple Parrots?
Correct.
The Silver Snakes?
Correct.
The Green Monkeys?
Correct. Three more. Need help?
Yeah, please.
The Red Jaguars?
Okay.
The Blue Barracudas?
And
the Orange Iguanas.
I wouldn't have got any of those.
Well, good for you. So anyway, so it starts off with all these teams going, and then they do one game, and then they eliminate two teams. They do another game, eliminate two, until there's finally one team at the end. But the games are so cool. The first round is always in the moat. Remember, it had like a pool, and had all six teams to try to get across in a different way, get across the swimming pool, and like the first four to reach across successfully move on. So the first two that didn't make across or whatever, they don't move on to the next game. The next round was the Steps of Knowledge, and this was a trivia section of the game. Now, this was that each team, the first two teams who answered three questions correctly and moved down the Steps of Knowledge moved on to the third round. And the questions of this would be related to, I didn't even mention Olmec, the statue who talked, which was awesome, mm-hmm. big red eyes. He would explain what they're playing for. Like, he'd have, they'd be, sometimes it'd be like real history lessons, like, or they'd be like made up ones, but it'd be like about historical artifacts. Like some of them would be like about Catherine the Great or Lawrence of Arabia or Icarus or something like that. And so the questions would be related to that. And then so after that round, they would move on to the Temple Games. And this was more like, we're like Double Dare, where they'd have like physical challenges. And they did two different games. And if the team that won first game, they get a half pendant of life, and the team that won the second one got the second half. So obviously if the team that, you know, won both of them got a full pendant of life, which was awesome because they moved on to the temple to find the artifact that they've been talking about all show.
They were like BFF necklaces.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. You know, this is my half, this is your half. We need one of these. I need to wear one half, and you need to wear the other half. Oh, that'd be great. So yeah, that and then you move on to the temple. And do you remember? This has got to be one of the hardest endings to end any other game show ever on Nickelodeon.
Oh yeah, it's definitely worse than the Aggro Crag.
Oh yeah, I mean, did you ever see many teams win this thing?
No, it was always the three-tiered monkey that everybody bombed on.
The Shrine of the Silver Frickin' Monkey. That thing...
The nemesis of so many children.
Oh, my God. You're just at home screaming at your television, you got to put the head there, and the kids never got it. It's so confusing. And what's funny, I'll go back to the game, but they made a movie called Legends of the Hidden Temple last year in 2016, and I made my family watch this movie. We rented it on Amazon, $2.99 if you were looking to watch it on Amazon. Totally worth it, I thought. The temple guide, Kurt Fogg, he's actually in the movie and he's a guide, and the movie's like, they're at like this theme park called Legends of the Hidden Temple, and like he's a tour guide there. It's not a great movie, but anyway, the kids get trapped in the temple and they just pretty much play a game like they do on the show. What the thing in the movie, though, is that they have a whole scene on how they can't figure out this monkey. They put this three-piece monkey there, and there's a whole scene. Like, they're trying to put it together, then suddenly it cuts away and says 4 hours later, and then they cut back, and they're trying to still put it together. And it's like, it's just hilarious. I love it. But I asked you, like, have you ever seen many people win this? Out of all the shows they did, only 32 people finished the temple run. Out of all of them. The team that was the worst, what color and which team do you think was the worst that had the least amount of, that made it to the temple run the least amount of times?
Oh, well, I got a 1 in 6 here. I'm going to go Red Jaguars.
Oh no, you'd be wrong. The Purple Parrots, which I always thought was the stupidest name. So they deserve to lose. The one with the most winning percentage is the Silver Snakes. Silver Snakes. We were looking for Silver Snakes.
Could have won a new pair of BK Knights.
Also sponsored by Reebok, this show. But remember that... So in the Temple Run, they had those pendants of life because there would be the Temple Guards that would come out and scare the hell out of these children.
Yeah, they were terrifying.
Oh, they'd wet themselves. They'd be like, ah! And they'd freak out. Oh, I love that show. They actually would record up to 6 episodes a day of the show. They would record, they started like 8 in the morning, it wouldn't be done till like 1 a.m. the next day.
Can you imagine dealing with that many kids?
No, and that was a
problem. You're the host of that show?
Yeah, that was a problem that that they said there was a lot of issues with that, like kids being tired and crew being tired, and it didn't go well. So, yeah, I absolutely love the show. Like I said, it's like Indiana Jones versus, you know, meets Jeopardy meets, I don't know, ancient ruins of Maya. I don't know. It's just weird. It's a great show. Yeah. What do you you got anything on this show, Jim? I know you loved it, but you didn't put it in your top five. So.
No. I think you did a good job of covering it. I really liked that show. I also went to Halloween Party as a Legends of the Hidden Temple contestant a couple years ago.
Which team member were you?
I was the purple. No.
No.
The Green Monkeys.
Okay,
that's
good.
What we were.
I always liked the Green Monkeys.
Yeah. I found a website that you can buy the T-shirts and the original like gold helmet and the knee pads, and my wife and I went as contestants. So I still have the T-shirt.
Oh, nice, nice. This show is actually one of the only game shows from Nickelodeon to win. They won a Cable Ace Award for Best Game Show in 1995. Yeah. Also, again, with the repeats, these things have been on. The repeats have been on since the show went off the air in 1995. So it's just crazy. You can now, if you have Teen Nick on your cable provider, they have the Splat section, and I believe that show is
awesome.
Show is still on there. So, oh man, this has just been a blast from the past so far. I loved sitting down and watching all this stuff. Like, it's just the best. All right, Jim, since we already know you're number one, let's talk about it again. Your number one is?
We already know what it is. Let's do a quick rundown of all the shows that didn't make your list.
Oh, God, this was, and like, you're right, I'm sorry, I skipped ahead there, but this was so hard, because I loved all these shows, and it was so hard to cut them off of a top five, but some of them, like, you, that would have made my list, that weren't made your list, was Adventures of Pete and Pete, Ren and Stimpy show. I was a fan of, I don't remember it as much, but I know my wife loves the show All That, and Kenan and Kel. Great shows.
Uh-huh.
There's another game show called Finders Keepers and Nick Arcade.
Oh, Nick Arcade. Didn't they run around with like Velcro and grab all the games at the end?
Yes.
They got to keep whatever video.
Yes.
Such a good show.
It was awesome. How about you? What do you got? You got some more on there?
Oh, my gosh. Like, the Nicktoons, Rugrats, Doug, Ah Real Monsters, Rocko's Modern Life, the whole SNCC lineup. I love Secret World of Alex Mack. The girl in Secret World of Alex Mack was to me my crush, where yours was Clarissa.
Oh,
I love Joan Hart. I love the girl from Secret World of Alex Mack. Roundhouse, Kenan and Kel. The game shows would have been like Double Dare, Family Double Dare, Guts. Guts almost made my list. What Would You Do, which is like a Mark Summers spinoff of Double Dare.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Arcade, you said. Wienerville, Get the Picture. Then I came across old cartoons like David the Gnome and Inspector Gadget. I mean, nice. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, this was a tough one. And to like, and there's so much information, I just feel like I've been vomiting the whole hour here. Of information, because
yeah.
I'm just like, I want to talk about this stuff so much, and I can't even get the words out of my mouth. But yeah, I Double Dare, man, love those shows. I know, like, Double Dare was another one that was hard to keep off my list. It was between that and like Wild and Crazy Kids, and so I was like, I don't know. Okay, I'm going with Crazy Kids. But all right, well, let's go with my number one this time, because you just mentioned it, that you left it off your list, and mine is Nickelodeon Guts.
Oh, that's your number one? That's a good pick.
That's my number one. I was going back between Legends of Hidden Temple and Guts, but I love this. And it, for those of you who don't know, it's basically the show American Gladiators with children. it was action sports. It was hosted by actor Mike O'Malley and officiated by British actress Moira Quark. Mo, as he would call her. The show was on from 1992 to 1996. So each episode had three athletes, just like in American Gladiators, competing against each other in four quote-unquote extreme versions of athletic events, culminating in a fifth final round, which, Jim, you mentioned earlier, was the Agro Crag, which I'll get to in a minute. This is another one. The reruns ran forever on this show. This is, and also I think this holds up. I watched a bunch of these episodes the other day, and it's fun to watch. You know, it's just basically, you know, just a bunch of sports. Two celebrities performed on the show, competed on the show, and they are. Do you remember Jim? Do you remember a little band called a little group called Backstreet Boys?
I do.
AJ from Backstreet Boys was a contestant on the show, and we watched this the other day, and it's him. It's definitely him. And he comes in dead last on his show. Much better singer than sports person. Also, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Help or Cloverfield. Mike Vogel, who's he's a pretty good actor. He was also on one of the shows, and he did a lot better than AJ. They were on separate shows, though. I absolutely love this show. There was a Super Nintendo game that came out of Nickelodeon Guts, which I never had a Super Nintendo, but I had a friend who had it, and he had this game. And it wasn't great, but it was just so cool that he's like, oh, I get to do this, get to run the Agro Crag at the end. Well, let's get into it. The Agro Crag. Jim, this thing was amazing. This was a mountain. It's a big mountain. And, So all three competitors started at the bottom, and they had to run all the way to the top, and they had to hit these little buttons on the way. They called actuators, and this little thing would light up, and they just race to the top, and whoever gets to the top wins. And but there was like falling rocks, and there was snow and stuff that would distract them and everything. And the winner, which I know you and I have talked about this before, the winner would get a gold medal, but also a piece of the glowing rock of the Agro Crag. Remember this thing?
If I had that, it would still be in my room.
Oh, my God. I bet there's someone out there on hard times selling their glowing rock. We could probably find that.
I bet, yeah. I would buy that.
Gosh. I love this show. Like I said, it was on for, three, four, five seasons. The last season, it was Guts International or whatever it was called, and they had kids from all over the world. They had, you know, it was always just three different countries represented, which was pretty cool. And that's when they introduced the Super Agro Crag in that season. And yes, it was 2 feet higher. The original was 28 feet high. This one is 30. Oh yeah, and it was awesome. Oh, I don't know. I just, for those of you who don't know the show, I apologize, and I hope you go and find it, because this show is awesome. So,
my friend Jeff had moon shoes that they would run around the track in.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so the opening of the show, and anyone go on YouTube and just do the opening of the show, and you'll find it. And they would show, they'd show this, they have the song, and then show the kids doing all the different games. And they show the moon shoes scene, them running, and there's always a kid who just biffs it horribly. And they put that in the open. And so I would always remember this kid it looked like he broke an ankle. It was horrible, but that's in there, and sure shit, it was in there again when I was watching the other day. I'm like, oh yeah, that kid fell so bad. So.
And you can just see Mo in the background laughing at him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was I loved Mo. And mainly I love Mo because of Mike, who would be like, and let's go to Mo for the point total. Mo! He'd always yell, hey, Mo! Oh, and then she had such a cute British accent. Oh, gorgeous. Yeah. And then there was a point where they had the spill your guts section. And like, it's time to spill your guts. And then the kids would talk about it, like, they'd always have stupid little nicknames. Like, AJ McLean, for one, was AJ Mean McLean. And that was his nickname. And they would say, like, how old they are and, like, what's their, like, favorite subject in school or something. You know, it was just kind of nothing that interesting. But it was, I love this show. And I wanted so badly to run that Agro Crag at the end. And my wife and I were talking last night, and she's like, you know what these guys, this production crew and all them, you know, after the show went off the air, they just got drunk and ran all this stuff, ran around on. I'm like, oh, I bet they did.
I just looked up Mo real quick.
Yeah.
The what she's doing now.
Oh God.
And it says that she did conquer the aggro crag herself.
There you go.
And she has a piece of the crag on top of her piano in her living room.
Of course, every British person has a piano in their living room.
She's the only one with an aggro crag.
Oh man. Remember some of the games? They had the wave pool. Oh, that was so frustrating trying to watch. There was always the one person who just didn't get it. They couldn't get it, and they just were, oh, and you're so frustrated. You're at home screaming. You want to throw a piece of aggro crag right at their head. You know, it's just like, yeah.
I remember the middle one was always, they had to get up on those really tall steps and jump down with a bungee cord and either, like, shoot hoops. They use a Nerf bow and arrow and shoot targets or something.
Or they would have, they'd jump down and, like, hit slime or something, and then they have to put their mark on the wall. Like, the jump, like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, those were awesome. And then there was always the little obstacle course with all, like, the elastic bands. Like, they must have been a huge sponsor, like, some kind of Nerf thing, because there's always those elastic, they had elastic jungle they had to crawl through and climb up a rope. And
oh, yeah.
It was basically, like I said, American Gladiators, but it was kid-friendly, you know, like, oh. Yeah, but I absolutely love Guts. Do you have it, Jim?
Guts?
That's right.
Do you have it? 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 Do you have it?
Let's go to the leaderboard. Mo! All right, Jim. Let's go back to your number one. We already heard about it.
Yeah. The whole piece of the rock thing reminded me that our friend Justin was on Wienerville with Jon Stewart. Do you remember that show?
Yeah, yeah. He would talk about that a lot.
Yeah, he was our friend was a contestant on that show, and he still has the golden hot dog that he got from participating. True story.
So what's your number
are
one?
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes.
It's my number one.
Yes, yes. And it's a great one. And again, I apologize to you, my friend, for not making it my number one.
No, it's fine. You are entitled to your own number one, my friend. And Guts is a good one.
Okay, thank you.
So Are You Afraid of the Dark was my all-time favorite. I love, like I've said a million times, I love Halloween. So when this around October, I record as many episodes as I can find, and I love anthology shows like The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, Outer Limits. NBC did a show called Fear Itself a couple years back. I love anthology scary stories like that.
We little sidebar so, at Halloween time this year, we need to do like a top five Twilight Zones or top five TV. We'll do the whole month of October is gonna be dedicated to Halloween stuff.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, and it has to finish with scary movies. It's got to be like...
Oh, yeah.
I could name my top five right now.
I know.
Love... Like, that's it. From October 1st through Halloween, all I do is watch scary movies all month long. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Well, I can't wait till we get to October.
Okay. So, where was I? The show was actually a Canadian show that ran 2 years before Nickelodeon picked it up. It was picked up by Nickelodeon in 1991 and premiered on SNICK as the fourth show. Central Time, where I grew up, was the 8:30 show. And it ran until 1996. It came back from 99 and 2000 and still ran on SNICK. It focused on Tucker, who was the younger brother of Gary, who started the original series. It had... a lot of variations of stories, but there were always kind of twists on classic stories from public domain. A couple of them were original ideas, and then a lot of them were inspired by a lot of famous literary works like George Orwell's 1984 and a couple of Stephen King short stories. Originally, the creators wanted it to be bedtime stories, but they realized that wasn't very interesting, and they kind of twisted it to be more scary. And even M. Night Shyamalan was said to be inspired by one of them called The Tale of the Dream Girl when he made The Sixth Sense. And this episode centered around the boy who was ignored by everybody around him except a girl who turned out to be dead. Don't want to ruin The Sixth Sense for anybody. This show was initially called Scary Tales, a play on fairy tales, but Nickelodeon wanted a more unique name, so they came up with Are You Afraid of the Dark, based on Dr. Seuss's scary story called What Was I Scared Of?
Way better name than Scary Tale.
Way better name. Yeah. You mentioned it earlier, when they would submit the story for the Midnight Society, they would throw that dust in the fire. Mm-hmm. And that dust in all 21 episodes was actually just non-dairy creamer.
All right. That's cool.
And they didn't want to teach kids how to actually light a fire, so when they all got to the campus area to tell their stories, the fire was already lit, which made absolutely no sense.
Weren't these kids teenagers? Like, they couldn't light a fire by then?
Yeah. Well, they didn't want us, being 10 years old, to watch the show and learn how to light a fire.
Well, that's true. I did that once, and I have a scar to prove it, so I guess they're right.
Right. The clown doll from there was an episode in season 3 called A Tale of the Crimson Clown. Ugh. And that clown was sold on eBay for $11,597. Not bought by you, because you don't like clowns.
Never, and that clown should be burned, buried, and destroyed.
You mentioned a lot of the characters that were on the show in the past, or the celebrities.
Yeah.
Alaysia Cuthbert was in the show. I think she was actually one of the storytellers in the reboot. She was one of the friends of the brother.
She was a little. She was in The Girl Next Door, which is a great high school romantic comedy. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
God, I like you. Guys.
I love you so much.
Neve Campbell. You mentioned Melissa Joan Hart.
Yes.
Hayden Christensen, the Mowry sisters. Mm-hmm. Danny Cooksey, who played Budnick. And Sluggy Shorts was in it. Emily Van Camp, who was in Revenge on ABC, was in it. You mentioned Ryan Gosling. He was actually offered a main role in the show, but he turned it down to do Mickey Mouse Club. And then the reoccurring characters, we mentioned Zeebo the Clown. There was Sardo, who played the, he owned like a magic shop. There was Dr. Vink, who appeared in a bunch of episodes. That is that's all I got on Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, I love that.
My favorite Nickelodeon show of all time. I would just wait. Like when you had a friend stay the night on the weekend, Fridays were always TGIF and Saturdays were always SNCC. And I would just wait for Are You Afraid of the Dark and then be so disappointed at 9 o'clock when nothing else was on.
Oh, man. So when you come and visit or I come and visit, we're going to buy a bunch of these off Amazon. And we're just going to watch them.
Yes.
And then
we can play Super Mario 3 on the Wii.
Oh, get out of here. Yes, I can't wait. Oh, my gosh.
Can we talk about last week's episode for a minute? You brought it up. You rubbed in my face about Alaysia Cuthbert. We got more responses from that episode than ever before. People were extremely passionate about their romantic comedies.
Passionate's a good word. Yeah.
Extremely passionate about telling me, I don't know about you, but telling me that I was wrong on mine and I forgot certain ones and I left out this and left out that and that was a bad thing. People were more passionate about this than any other topic we've talked about.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. I didn't think actually anyone listened. I got tons of response from friends who just text me. Then we got a response on our Twitter and our Facebook, and we struck a nerve with some people.
Yeah, we definitely did.
Well, you know, that's good. That's okay.
I'm glad people are listening.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm glad people care enough to make their own list, which I think is awesome. We had people write down their list and take pictures and submit it, which I think is awesome. Everybody should do that. That's super cool. I just thought it was funny that of all the ones that we did, and not just girls, a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Texted me and said, "You're dumb. You didn't put this one on your list. That's a bad movie. You should have put this one on your list." And that was very surprising to me. I thought that would be the one that some people didn't care about, but everybody loved that one.
Yeah, which is good. In this one, Nickelodeon one, we thought everyone's going to love this, and people are probably going to hate it. So, well, Jim, hey, do you watch Nickelodeon anymore?
No. I watched that Splat when it first came out, and I was recording shows on that for a while, but that's about it.
Nice. Yeah, I don't watch too much. My son doesn't watch much Nickelodeon. He's more of a Disney kid. He watches the Disney stuff. And then we watch a lot of the old cartoons that I find on Netflix for him and stuff, the ones I watch, and he likes those. But, yeah, but Nickelodeon's still kicking it, still going strong, lots of shows. I know my nieces and nephews, as they were growing up, they would tell me about the shows I didn't know. I know Fairly Odd Parents was a big one. People love that one. Jimmy Neutron, you know, so like...
Even SpongeBob SquarePants comes up as the number one on every Nickelodeon list.
Right.
But for me, when I was growing up, not that I'm like old, but when I was growing up, that wasn't even on.
Right.
And I quit watching Nickelodeon before it was on. Like even Hey Arnold was at like the very, I didn't even watch that show. That was at like the very end of my Nickelodeon viewing.
Right. Well, at the end of our show, because we got a lot of people beforehand, not a lot of people, but some people we told that we're going to do this show, say, oh, you got to have this one, you got to have this one. And I listen to them like, oh, yeah, you're 10 years younger than me. So, like, I'm like, what show are you talking about? So I put a little thing together so at the end of the show to make everyone happy. So make sure to stay tuned for that. But speaking of Nickelodeon, I'm taking the whole family to Nickelodeon Universe at the Mall of America this weekend. For those of you who don't know, the Mall of America is in Minnesota, and it's the biggest mall in America, and it's pretty sweet. And in the middle is a huge theme park, and it's Nickelodeon Universe, and all the rides and everything's themed after Nickelodeon shows. And so,
that's
I know Fletcher's
awesome.
Excited. Yeah, we're excited. Fletcher's excited. I'm excited. They have here. I wrote down some of the names of the rides. This one. So there's the Avatar Airbender, the Back at the Barnyard Hayride, Fairly Odd Coaster, SpongeBob SquarePants Rock Bottom Coaster, the Jimmy Neutron's Atomic Collider, Shredder's Mutant Masher, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shell Shock, which, you know, Ninja Turtles are now a Nickelodeon show.
Yeah.
The Backyardigans Swing Along, the Blues Skidoo from Blue's Clues, Bubble Guppies, Diego. So everything's named after the Nickelodeon stuff. And so I'm super excited. I know Fletcher's excited. My wife's excited. So we're going to skid our Nickelodeon on this next weekend.
That's awesome. So, let me know how that goes.
Yeah, I will. What do you got going on the rest of the week, in the weekend?
I don't think we're doing a whole lot next weekend. It's supposed to get kind of cold again, maybe possibly snow. I'm not really sure. So we're just going to kind of take it easy. That's how I like my weekends, Tom. I like them very relaxed, no responsibilities.
Good.
Very good. Easy.
Good. Just you keep living your life like that. Let me know how it turns out. So, Jim, tell everyone.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know. How they can get a hold of us again.
Email, Facebook, Twitter,
yep.
Instagram.
All that fun stuff. Well, Jim, our next show, we're going to be back next week, and it was inspired by somebody, my wife and her coworkers. They decided to do their own top five at the office, and they wanted to do their top five crushes, and they had to pick top five female crushes and top five male crushes, no matter if they were female or male. And
I love this idea.
Yeah, we love this idea. So this is going to be our next show. We're going to come, so we'll actually have 10, so we'll rapid fire through them, but we're going to do our top five female crushes of all time, and then we'll do our top five male crushes, and that's going to get a little interesting, I think.
I'm excited.
I can tell.
I'm excited about this one.
Oh, good. Well, Jim, let's wrap it up here. Let's just...
Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah.
You might be on my list.
Ooh. All right. Has to be celebrities. Well, I guess we're minor celebrities now.
No, we're not.
No, not at all. Not at all. Okay. Well, Jim, I declare this meeting of the Midnight Society closed. And thanks for playing, but... just for your hard effort, here are two passes to Space Camp, sponsored by Reebok. All right. I'll call you back in 5 minutes, Jim.
All right. Hey, Tom.
Yeah?
I love you.
I love you, too. Bye.
Everybody out there, go run and tell your homeboys and homegirls it's time for Keenan and Kel to keep you laughing in the afternoon. So don't touch that dial on Read the Room.
I'm Al Knapp. I was just an average kid until an accident changed my life. And since then, nothing's been the same.
What would you do?
Alone in the world was a little cat dog. Out on the road or back in town, all kind of critters wouldn't cat dog down. Gotta rise above it, gotta try to get along. Gotta walk together, gotta sing this song.
This is the theme song. Uncle Jimmy Neutron.
Welcome to Wild and Crazy Kids. The show that goes anywhere and does anything to find kids having fun.
Parents, they're the odd parents.
Wands and wings!
Floaty crowny thing!
Hey, Arnold!